Ryan Seacrest's Half Year's Rockin' Eve will not be heard tonight because he's vacationing from his umpteen other shows. In its place, we present the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and the one thing that we cannot say about the game shows this year is, like, the fireworks. They're not bombs bursting in air. They've been really successful this summer, which is nice. As long as you're in the United States, that is.
Yeah, I like, you know what? I like bombs bursting in air, and I like rockets red glare, and I see all the new stuff that's dropping over the summer. We're going straight to the moon, and Patton Oswalt's flying us there.
Sort of. But
kind of.
Okay, I will just say the tribe has spoken on Jeopardy. We actually have some real news, and un acto de America tiene talento en español
de
Puerto Rico. And the other issue is that we finally, unfortunately, after a very long time, have zombies, and we can blame Canada. Which we will,
it was a long time we've had sort of really significant game show zombies, and this is a big one.
We've had small zombies. This one's a horde. And this could be the foretelling of other things, so we'll explain why that's news, other things are news, and why... What do you got for a game, Chico?
I have, because it is the middle of the year, and my friend and co-worker and partner in crime fighting just got back from Japan. I got presents!
Whee! And it's a 4th of July holiday, so we should be giving out presents.
We should be. And how about the presents of our presents being present right now from Subway in America? WLTI, the 4th of July edition, is on. Let's go!
Welcome to the most patriotic podcast about game shows. This is episode 452 of We Love to Interrupt, WLTI on 5 and 1. My name is Jason Block, I'm your strength and conditioning coach, hot dog condiment advisor, and all-around good guy. Of course, I have my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
I'm hot. I'm hot and dirty.
Okay. Sure, I'll go with that. I just came back from Macy's 4th of July. It was fun. It was loud. It was awesome. Just like Jeopardy has been. Except, well, the tribe has spoken.
All right, so our man Drew Basil has reached that pivotal moment where he has been invited to compete in the big show next November.
He earned a spot. Let's get real, okay?
No, I mean that's what they do. It's like anyone who wins 5 games is invited to compete. He earns a spot, but they do invite him.
That's correct.
I read the rule book, Jason.
We've read the rule book, and hopefully we'll be reading the rule book again soon. Anyway.
Excuse me, Jeopardy snob number one and Jeopardy snob number two. Can we get back to business here?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead, coach.
Okay. So, let's go back to last Friday's match, where Drew was facing off against Andrew Fox out of Robbinsdale, Minnesota, and Cal Pisacano, a nurse from New York City. I'm not going to say who Jason and Gordon are pulling for, but going into the final. I'm sorry, I said Carl. I meant Kat. I am so sorry. Kat has 5,800. Andrew has 600. Drew has 9,600. Interesting that Drew has not locked it away. Door is wide open for all three. Final Jeopardy category, notable American women. The clue. In her autobiography, she tells of a rather singular coincidence that one of her Swiss ancestors was a teacher of the deaf.
Yeah, I know. Pick me. Who? I thought it was the teacher of the deaf originally, but it's the person who was, well, deaf and blind. Who is Helen Keller?
I also thought it was Annie Sullivan, but you are correct, Jason. Gordon, what do you say?
Well, what are most Republicans in this election process going up in November was the only thing that I could really come up with.
Okay, now!
Yeah. So Andrew gets it right and doubles up. Or Kat gets it right and almost doubles up, ends up with 11,500. Rue went with who is Gallaudet?
No, it's Gallaudet. Gallaudet.
Gallaudet.
Which is not a bad answer.
No, it's a very good answer.
Incorrect one.
No.
And Gallaudet, if I'm not mistaken, is a man.
Gallaudet is also, it's also where a university in Washington, D.C. is. Okay?
A university for the deaf.
Correct. Now, the thing was, and I will say this, Drew had a horrible game. He was missing question after question. Gordon, I will say this, and you know what I'm about to say. He played on tilt.
Well, you know, first of all, it's a bad day to have a bad day. And second of all, I'm not even going to say play on tilt. I'm going to say he did not play well from playing from behind.
No, he did not. He kept swinging and missing. And but you know what? He's going to be a force in the Tournament of Champions. He really is.
And a bit of a trivium here. He is the fourth Tournament of Champions invitee in a row. Remember, we started May off with Grant DeYoung winning 5, then Amar Kakirde winning 5, then Adriana Harmeyer going on a tear. And now we have Drew. So,
yeah, the field is starting to fill up. But will our newest 2-day champion, yes, hint, hint, Isaac Hirsch, by the way, I think you could play a Ho Fender a little alarm here a little bit. A little
bit. That's doing anything for you?
Uh-huh. Because Isaac Hirsch has been on The Chase, and he was, and of course, thanks, and I'm going to credit TV Insider. I usually don't like to, but they have some information, okay? He defeated Buzzy Cohen in Season 3 and won $46,667, splitting it three ways, and walked away with $5,000 in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in 2017.
So we have a quiz pedigree here at Isaac.
Yes,
Hirsch.
We do. So let's talk about today's show on July 4th.
Yes, Isaac Hirsch is playing against Christine Roberts out of Holland, Pennsylvania, and Josh Martin from Springfield, Missouri. And going into the final, Isaac has 21,200, Josh has 14,400, Christine has 6,400. All of it to play for as we go into the Final Jeopardy category of Tech Talk. In 1992, Gene Pauly told new web users to do this and later explains they need some skill. Never know if they're going to be sharks.
And, you know, I should have known it with that clue. I should have known, but I did not. I did not. I had no idea what it was.
Gordon, do you have any idea?
What is get better at strip poker? Because, you know, internet gambling and nobody wants to see you naked.
No, we don't. No. The main event is actually on a different channel. No, the actual answer is surf the web.
Yes. You need some skills. Surf the web. Never know if they're going to be sharks. And, surprisingly enough, Gene Pauly was one of the people who popularized that expression. in the early days of the internet, according to Ken Jennings. And Isaac got it right. He wins another 28,801, bringing his two-day total to 47,986. He will play again to wrap up the week tomorrow.
And that will mean 3 weeks left of the season, correct?
Correct.
Correct. 3 weeks. I don't know what they're going to show, but we'll see. But let's go to the workroom, shall we?
Yes, let's go to the workroom. And
this week...
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Okay, so the mini challenge, the Queens had to photobomb a famous vacation locale. Nina West won and got a charity donation of $2,500. So for the main challenge, they created a look based on a RuPaul song. Angeria did Cake and Candy. Gottmik, New Friends, Silver, Old Friends, Gold. Georges did I Bring the Beat. Nina West was Cha-Cha. Can I say that word?
Cha-Cha, B.
Yeah, B. Okay. Star Baby, Plastic Tiara. Roxy Andrews is Lady Cowboy. Chanel is Hey Sis, It's Christmas. Vanessa Vanjie is Kitty Girl. The runway was Make Your Own Kind of Ruzik. So, Gottmik, Nina West, and Plastic Tiara and Roxy were the high. Plastic Tiara and Roxy declared the top queens. They lip sync to No One Gets the Prize by Diana Ross. Interesting. Roxy won and cuts off Angeria for receiving a badge next week. So, right now, as we have it at the moment, Chanel, zero. Vanessa
keeps doing enough to just do enough.
Right. Vanessa, Nina, Georges, and Gottmik all have two. Angeria has three. And Plastique Tiara and Roxy have four. And we don't know how many episodes are left, do we?
No, we don't. But we do know that the next episode is... supposed to be next week, but it's not up yet. It'll probably be up in a matter of hours as we record this.
Correct.
But right now, not much is known about it.
No, we don't know what's going on. Gordon, it's still any queen to win, right?
Of course, and that's how they're going to have it. You know, I just remember in All Stars 7, you had somebody come from obscurity to make it to the top four. Anything can happen. That's how she likes it. That's how we like it. And again, this has been a fun season. Everybody was like, well, it's not as good as 7. Well, of course not. The talent's not as good as season 7, but this is still pretty good.
And right, and by the way, drama. 7 had 12 episodes. 7 had 12. So we may be down to 3 or 4 left. There's can we play the Concords a little early? Because I think this is really big.
Of course we can. Okay, so the on-again... we have some big breaking news here. The on-again, off-again relationship between Paramount and Skydance is back on again.
So they're dancing again.
Yes.
So to speak.
According to the Washington Post, Skydance Media has reached a tentative deal to acquire National Amusements, the holding company with a controlling stake in Paramount Global, according to a person familiar with the matter who spoke on condition of anonymity to speak freely about the potential agreement. He reported $1.75 billion, with a B, deal still needs approval by a special committee of Paramount's board. It also permits a 45-day go-shop period in which Paramount may search for a better offer.
And the rumor is that Skydance and Paramount are going to merge into one big happy family, if it happens.
Yeah, okay.
In the words of an old Bugs Bunny cartoon, don't you believe it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
It's there. The offer's on the table. The fruit is in the bowl, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Just needs to be shined up, waxed, and bought.
Yeah, but we'll see if they actually take, you know, take the next step and do the, you know, the horizontal dance of business love, you know?
All right, so Jamie Lumley, who's an analyst covering media for Third Bridge Group, said, renewed hope that both parties will be able to get a deal over the line is being tempered by concerns that we've been here before.
True.
Of course, comments out of both camps, Paramount and Skydance, is no comment.
Mm-hmm.
But on the
again, we'll see. We haven't heard anything, you know?
Yep.
We haven't heard anything. We won't hear anything. There's that. Again,
yeah, it's hard to hear something when it's a holiday.
Yeah, it is holiday, and all the negotiations, they're taking the week off, they're all on, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Also, what is AGT this week.
Okay, so we have a...
here we go.
Wait.
yes, wait.
How about now?
No. Nope.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the acts that really rose to the top and some that were just there.
And one that if they got a golden buzzer, you would have lost me. Jason would have had to do the America's Got Talent recap from now on.
I agree with that. I agree with that, okay?
May have boycotted it with me.
Yep, I agree. But you know what? Let's put a bit of distance between that and this first. Sebastian and Sonya was the teaser act in media this week, where you had one of the people literally ram themselves into the X's.
Mm-hmm.
At least the judges were blown away once they got their minds right, though.
Okay. I have a problem next. With them because, next. Yeah, next. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Oster Sternbridge, basically a teen idol. He's a good singer. I'm sure he has a way with the ladies. Me, not so much.
Next. You're going to hear a running theme from me today.
Yeah. Magic Act Young Men. What can you tell me about this guy, Jay? Young Men.
He's a 31-year-old Korean musician and uses sand magic. Okay. It was okay.
It was all right, dog.
It was something I haven't seen before.
It's something I've seen before, and I've seen it before in America's Got Talent.
Okay. Erica Rhodes, who is looking for someone that seems like a psychopath but isn't one.
Who?
She's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what's that old saying? Dying is easy, comedy is hard.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, again, I don't find many comics funny. Okay. And she wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
Did you instill that Pink Flamingo in Jason Block's lawn yet?
No, not yet. Okay, how about Attraction Juniors, who are on Britain's Got Talent at season 15?
Well, you know what?
Clearly.
Okay, I always love groups like this. I always do. Because to me, it shows intelligence. And a lot of other things that, you know, I love all these, you know, these illusion groups, you know, there was one last year that was brilliant. The Australian woman who won Australia's Got Talent. You know who I'm talking about, right? The pole dancer.
The pole dancer.
She was brilliant. I love groups like this. This tickles me right in the talent fields.
Nice. And now we have to address the good-looking Puerto Rican elephant in the room.
What, yes. What's Spanish for elephant?
Elefante.
I should know that. Oh.
Le Grand Elefante and La Cama. Okay.
And of course, not El Cama. El Cama means it's in your bed.
Good night, everybody.
You want a big elephant in your bed, Jay?
Sorry.
Jason has to go to bed before there's an elephant in his bed.
Un elefante muy elegante, macho por Malaca, macho por gigante. In Jason Black's cama.
No. I meant to say.
There you go. The time is 11:38, and this show has hit rock bottom.
I meant to say auditorio, but comma came out. I'm sorry. And what it is menudo, the new version of menudo. Now, for those who don't know who menudo is or are, okay,
menudo is currently not in Jason Block's bed, by the way. Just
that is correct.
Make sure
okay.
that people know that. Okay,
right. They have been around since I was in high school. Okay. They were around in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And for real, Gordon, let's just get serious for a minute. I used to see them on Telemundo and Univision all the time. Okay. Yep.
And they hosted bumpers for ABC Saturday Morning back in the day.
Right. But
it also featured Ricky Martin as well as others that have had various levels of success.
He said, Robbie Rosa.
Okay. Yes. And what happens is that they were around for a while, but as members got to a certain age, I think, what was it, 18, I think it
the,
was?
The legend dictates that your first shave is followed by your final concert.
Right. And they've recently started again. Okay.
Yeah, thanks to, according to Gold Derby, Mario Lopez.
What? Hold
Mario
on.
Mario Lopez.
Get the f- out of here. Really?
Really?
Oh, my God. Okay, so there is even more corporate moo-poo in this. Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I said if they get a golden buzzer, I was retiring from doing any more commentary for America's Got Talent because they did not deserve a golden buzzer.
They didn't,
Maybe
did they deserve
the proper top. Personally, for me, no, but they did. I don't know if they're getting make live performances, but
okay.
So
they got one no vote, surprisingly, from Howie.
Yeah, by Howie. Okay.
But
and the fact is that this is why I hate America's Talent so much. Okay. This is why I hate America's Got Talent. And it has nothing to do with the fact that we all know that America's Got Talent's vision is no longer what it used to be. We know this. We're, not going to deny
this. We went from searching for the next great act to this show can run itself over the summer. We just need content to fill it.
But I think it's worse than that. It went from searching for the next big act to let's see who we can cut in the concert and all the merchandise we can sell, et cetera. I mean, yes, I don't have my head in the sand. That's what all these shows have been to begin with. So yeah, I get it. But does it have to be so blatant?
No, this was absolutely, this is absolutely not blatant. It is so bleeping overt that it just makes me want to, it's ick.
It's ick. Okay. If there was any more ick, it would be Seth Worth the Menudo.
No. You are not really seeing the picture here. Look at it this way.
I would like to see Seth Worth doing Menudo. I think that would be much more entertaining than the Menudo performance that we actually got.
Correct.
But.
Correct.
Did they get the golden buzzer?
No.
No.
Who did get the golden buzzer, and it was Heidi's golden buzzer. A 10-year-old...
Her last one.
By the name... a 10-year-old singer by the name of Praniska Mishra, who was singing Tina Turner and moved Heidi to tears.
Okay.
I think
she's also performed, you know, the national anthem at Heat games. I think, hasn't she been on other places too? I think.
I don't think so. I think she's big on social media, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. But, eh. You know?
But, yeah, it's just Content City, basically. That's all it was on Tuesday night. Content City.
Yes, and she's also performed several of the times at the Apollo Theater. So, and she, yeah. But you know what? Good for her. Good for her. Can we move on? Seriously?
Yes. Let's move on, shall we?
So today was the final, I believe, the season finale of The Price is Right. Yes?
Yes, it was. Today was the season finale of The Price is Right. I could do a 30 seconds of The Price is Right, where we have in the showcase, I'm going to screw this up, but I apologize. Ventaja Crawford as your top winner, and your runner-up is a man by the name of Anthony Brown. First showcase, a pair of Huffy bikes and accessories, a trip to Hawaii, and a party boat. Top winner Ventaja passes, and Anthony bids $32,500. Ventaja gets a fire pit, a MacBook Pro, and speakers, and a Ford Maverick XLT Supercrew, because if you're going to have an All-American Price is Right 4th of July, you're going to have a truck. Ventaja bids $41,251, the actual price, $38,346. Actual price of Anthony's showcase, remember he bid $32,500, $47,572. He wins a total of $76,461 in prizes, which includes a Chevy Malibu worth $26,370 in card game.
Correct. Yes. Now, by the way, you forgot about this. Today is the 50th anniversary of the debut of card game.
Correct.
And next year, according to Golden Road, two other things in the season 53 will be 50 years old. The hour-long format and the wheel itself.
Yeah, that's right, because the wheel was brought in with the hour-long format. Of course, it was the rainbow wheel first, but...
Yes. And I just have to check when... They went to an hour. Let's just see.
It was sometime in 1975.
I got that point. But let's see. Hold on. Price is Right. Sorry. Price is Right hour long format. There you go. The prices went to the hour long format November 3rd, 1975. So they're going to do that probably in season 54. Okay, not this season coming up, probably the next season after that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, but the season overall, again, it's an A-plus show. It really is. Jackpot January was spectacular. I believe this was the first season with Haven with a full audience, right? I believe.
Correct. This was our first full season at Haven. They've made it their new home. I love the new contestants row setup. I've always been a big fan of the access, I guess you could say.
Right.
Where you could
I also want to give a big shout out to Drew Carey for taking it to the third, almost his final boss form, if you really want to call it that, because the first few years he was trying to find his niche, to make the show his own, and it really was, in some respects, a little painful. But at other time, but now, at, you know, he's what, 66, 67, I believe?
Yeah, he's getting into his groove. He is basically saying, you know what? I was told by Bob Barker that don't do the show the way he would do it or the way that anybody else would do it. You do the show the way that you would do it. I think this is the year that Drew Carey finally took that advice to heart.
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's that. I just think that Drew is realizing that being the grand, you know, the old man of game shows, and whoever thought would, is that, you know, that's, remember we talked about that last week. He's the old man of game shows right now. So, yeah, pretty insane.
I'll add something else to it. I think not only is Drew coming to his own, I think the audience has warmed up to Drew, and they're buying what he's selling.
Really?
Which is something that can't be overlooked, yeah. You know, okay. This is, as you said, Jay, this is Drew's Price is Right. You know, yeah. They could have turned on him. They didn't.
No,
so, but Drew's not Bob Barker, nor should he be. He's Drew Carey. This is another great season that they've done.
It is another great season. But there is one minor thing I would like to see, because, I mean, I know we have the game back to 73, 74, and we'll get back to 75. I know that, you know, we know that. Mm-hmm. Don't you think we need at least another one or two new games in the rotation?
I think,
potentially?
I think we'll get them. I think we'll get them.
Yeah.
Okay.
You always think that there's no way they can make another game. They've done everything they could, and then that's when they surprise you. So keep your eye out. Because I think there's a surprise.
Lead was to the penny, right?
Yes.
Okay. To the penny was the last new game, and I'd like to see it, but. You know, again, Price is Right is now appointment television in L.A. It really is. So, great stuff. Another A-plus year. So, we need to end on a sad note, Chico.
Yes. Anybody who has watched any run of the Hollywood Squares, but particularly season 6 of the 1998 run, is aware of the sort of comic genius that Martin Mull was. Especially if, A, you're a big fan of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, B, you like Clue, and C, you grew up, like Jason Block, watching Fernwood Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, Martin Mull is this just impeccable comic genius. And, known primarily for his run on Hollywood Squares, but he's been on several game shows in the past. He was on Pyramid, $10,000 Pyramid. He was on Dance Fever in 1979. But yeah, I mean, this is just...
He was the center square for a long time in the Tom Bergeron era. I believe he appeared on all three of the...
He was on the Marshall Squares, the Davidson Squares, and the Bergeron Squares.
Yes. And by the way, very funny dude. Very loved his humor. Very good stuff. Very sad. Very sad.
Very,
and
very
believe his daughter said that he passed away from a long illness. So, unknown at this point. So, we'll see. Moment of silence, please, I believe.
Moment of silence. Thank you. And with that, we are going to take a break, but still to come, we have some presents for this Midsummer's Night. But first, It's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Jake Long, and this is the same with 501. Your hope, when we love to interrupt you, give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different shows that were bombs bursting in there. Like Burt Ludden's Love Cafe.
That's Love Buffet, but same idea.
Buffet, cafe,
ole. Who's your daddy?
Throat and neck.
Wait a second. I like Throat and Neck.
Oh, so you're the one.
I was.
Mm-hmm.
The all new three's a crowd.
Oh, God. Woo!
Love Triangle. Hello.
Oh, God. Oh, what was it? Yeah.
Lie detectors. And I say this loving Rove McManus, too. So.
Let's go to break. We'll be right back. This is 5-1, and this is We Love to Interrupt.
You may not think of flu as a serious disease, but complications can lead to severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine every year. Vaccines are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments. Protect yourself and your loved ones this flu season. Get a flu shot today. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Vision has been brought to you by Who Wants to Be Joey Chestnut? It wasn't the same this year as Patrick Berlinetti ate 58 hot dogs and buns, so we need to find somebody else who can swallow more sausages in 10 minutes to be the next great competitive eating champ. Nikki Sudo hosts. And by the way, Nikki Sudo.
Look at me. Run, Jeremy. Run, Jeremy.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So that was kind of meh. So.
Okay. So, Nick Weary, I believe his name was, he is engaged to Nikki Sudo. Nikki Sudo out-dogged him.
Yeah, I know.
But,
crazy.
I think it's 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm. If you get out-dogged by your fiancé, yeah. And on that note, Gordon, please, if you would.
It's a woman's world, my friends. It's a woman's world.
That's 10 words, but here's 5 words. Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Rock104 Rock Tracks, at Tracks Productions, and at Doug Morris Games. Be sure to listen every Sunday as he broadcasts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104. That's Rock 104, WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Now, Paramount and Skydance were not the only business items, as I have 3 bats. And they're perfect matches.
Hit 'em.
Get us the business time.
Netflix has renewed Perfect Match for a third season. The first season was released last year and it debuted at number 2. The second season just wrapped up and is as popular as ever. And all I can say is, good for them. They found an audience. And Nick Lachey has won.
Chico is just jealous that he cannot play the game.
I can't. I have not been on Love is Blind, and I have not been on Too Hot to Handle, and frankly, I'm way too self-aware to be on both, so...
That means, Jay, it's all up to you. Go get him, Jay!
No, we've got other fish to fry. What's the second bat?
That is... No, third. 3 seasons.
Dude, oh, okay.
Perfect
match. Gotcha. Okay. All right, I got the date book, and believe it or not, we have a lot. Today was the season premiere of Barbecue Showdown on Netflix. Monday, we have the season premiere of The Bachelorette and the season premiere of Barbecue Brawl on Food and Match with Bobby Flay and some others. Tuesday, we have Bobby's Triple Threat, season premiere on Food and Match. The special Celebrity Family Feud, Decades of Laughs. And the season premiere on ABC of Megan the Stallion versus Neo and the NFL versus Olympians all playing for charity. And next Wednesday is the season premieres of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Claim to Fame on ABC. And the season premiere of Sugar Rush, The Baking Point on Netflix. So let's talk about Dad Apto. And this one's a good one. I like this one.
It's a good one indeed. In advance of the upcoming season of Big Brother, Big Brother has returned to Pluto TV. So we are clear, this is not the live feeds of the current house. These are actual episodes from previous seasons. So if you want to go relive your favorite house guests from your favorite season, that channel is now available on Pluto TV. It's on the same tier as Fear Factor, Amazing Race, Dealer, and O'Neill. All of that. So,
oh, I thought they were doing the live feeds on there.
They are doing the live feeds, but not yet.
Okay. All right, because okay. That makes sense, and that's smart.
And let me tell you something. They're warming up the couch, Jay. Can you hear it?
Oh, the WLTI Losers Lounge couch, yes! Oh, I cannot wait. It's about 2 weeks away. Anyway, this not so smart at all.
That's dumb.
Okay, and we can talk about this because he was on a guest and the Masked Singer. Okay.
Yeah, he caused a bit of a ruckus when he was on the Masked Singer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, are you smarter than Rudy Giuliani? Yeah, there's an old saying. Well, it's not that old, but it's old enough. You either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. Well, on Tuesday, after a court found that he repeatedly made false statements about the 2020 election, Rudy Giuliani was disbarred in New York. What that means is he is no longer legally allowed to practice law in the state of New York. This is on top of his law license being suspended in 2021 for making false statements around the 2020 election.
Mm-hmm.
The decision reads, "The seriousness of respondents' misconduct cannot be overstated. Giuliani flagrantly misused his position and baselessly attacked and undermined the integrity of this country's electoral process. In so doing, respondent not only deliberately violated some of the most fundamental tenets of the legal profession, but he also actively contributed to the national strife that has followed the 2020 presidential election, for which he is entirely unrepentant."
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, like I said, you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain.
So, moving on with that, this haterade sucks.
Brains!
After 12 years on the air, Big Brother Canada has just been served its eviction notice.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you've seen the writing on the wall. It's been going on for a while that we've been wondering, all right, when's the hammer going to drop? When's the hammer going to drop? When's the hammer going to drop? It drops.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, excuse me. Dad.
Yes, Jay.
No, I'm going to tell you when... I'm going to tell you when the zombies attacked, okay? The day they said, we're not doing live feeds anymore and we're just doing recaps, no. That was it. At least I thought so.
I thought so, too. I mean, you just lost the essence of what made Big Brother Big Brother.
Yeah, well, I thought they really lost it even before then. When you had some of the house guests threatening to leave because they weren't getting paid, allegedly. When you had certain advertisers and sponsors drop out so that they didn't have the money to do the live feeds 24/7. But again, that is the essence of Big Brother, just like the essence of Millionaire is saying, hey, anybody can play. Yeah, I went there, Jay. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
This is really, really distressing because, again... That's Canada. What happens to the U.S. version?
U.S. version needs to tighten up, basically. All of that stuff that was able to fall by the wayside because the people liked it so much, yeah, that stuff is over.
Well, it's not over yet, but again, if that wasn't a warning shot, if it wasn't one before, there is now.
Yeah, by the way...
They're still getting decent numbers and decent ratings, but, you know, gotta keep the sponsors.
Oh, that reminds me. See if you can translate this statement from Chorus Entertainment, who licensed and produced the format in Canada. Many factors in the decision were considered, including audience trends, available support from sponsors and advertisers, and production and licensing costs.
I will say it this way, and using another television axiom, the juice was not worth the squeeze.
Bingo.
Yep.
So if you're going to put that much money in, there's got to be enough juice, and the juice is gone. So instead of going to Canada, where are we going, Chico?
We are going to Turkey. Yes, all three media has inked a format deal for Letterboxd with a local adaptation on CNBCE in Turkey. Basically, sort of like a scaled-down version of Definition, if you remember that.
I do.
Yeah, 60 episodes have been ordered, and it features Yiğit Karaçi as the host. And the CNBCE version features contestants from all over Turkey getting the chance to win 50,000 Turkish lira, which is about $1,500 US. So, and this was a creation of David Young, whose claims to fame include The Weakest Link, Eggheads, Without Prejudice, and The Rich List.
So he's done some really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's got a pedigree, and the show has, what, two seasons for BBC Two? So.
Well, yeah. Maybe
well, he's
get
got
some...
a pedigree, but does he have a prodigree?
Does he have a
media prodigree?
A media prodigree.
Yeah.
I got pros in different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, Ellen DeGeneres is looking for an early exit to her career, canceling her last tour stops. Travis Kelce is
She found an early exit to her career.
Put it to you this way. Excuse me. The reason why they canceled shows, they weren't selling, and she ain't that funny, and they don't believe her. Let's get the media apology out the way. They don't believe her. She's not, you know, she's not as nice as they say she is. Let's just get it out of the way.
Okay, I think Jason's done now. Travis Kelce is over this whole reality poo-poo. Carol Vorderman, in her alternative McTaggart address, says, and now I'm quoting, "Beware the postmenopausal woman who doesn't give a damn." Jen Tran is disappointed in the lack of Asian men in this season of The Bachelorette. Simon Cowell's not about to give up his seat at the table now that he's turning 65. Drew Carey...
Look 65, by the way.
He takes really good care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Carey jokes that he is not smart.
And I'll also add, in another interview, Drew Carey claims that some of the Price is Right contestants come to them a little...
Bam, bam.
High on life, I believe.
High on life, yes.
H-I-I-I-I-G-H, high on life.
Yep. Like he was at that Fish concert. Just saying.
Jason Mraz admits that he got people to vote against him on Dancing with the Stars because he missed his cat.
Aw. Poor pussy. His pussy cat.
Cat. Cheryl Lee Ralph and Tony Hale will present the Emmy nominations.
And when is that going to be? Soon?
Yes, in the next couple of weeks, I believe.
Oh, boy. Okay, because that's going to be the one for us. That's going to be really interesting.
Yep. Not your pro of the week this week. Your pros, I guess you could say. Because Luke Bryan, because he is a judge on The American Idol, he sat down with Billboard and dropped a few stars that have, and now I'm quoting, been in talks to judge the competition next season. Bryan told Billboard, "I've said several names. I think Pink has been in the talks. Miley Cyrus has been in the talks. Meghan Trainor has been in the talks. It's been interesting. It's been something Disney's been really tight-lipped about with me and Lionel and Ryan. We currently haven't heard what the story is on who's coming back and if Lionel and I are coming back. I think Disney's just trying to figure out what they want to do, and we're just kind of sitting back and waiting until they decide."
If I were, for me, I think Meghan Trainor is the perfect fit. This is my personal opinion. I mean, the real one that should be is Kelly Clarkson, but she's in New York and they won't move the show to New York.
No, it would be fun if they did. But
they won't. But, I mean, who would you like to see in the third chair?
I would like
Simon Cowell!
Yeah,
he's 65. He can do it.
He's got enough on his plate. But Meghan Trainor is a really good choice. I think she's a really good choice. She's got like the top.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would please.
I am shutting down. Here's the button right here.
Now. Now that we've got all of that out of the way, it's time for gifts or presents. Whatever you want to call them, they're next on We Love Twitter Up. Stick and stay. We'll be right back. ¶¶ WLTI has been sponsored by Barbecue Brawl, Kobe versus Jaws. Yes, we know they can down hot dogs, but how will they do with chicken wings? How about ribs? How about pulled pork? How about macaroni and cheese? How about maple brown sugar baked beans, corn on the cob? Yes, all of these things and more. Who will finish their 4th of July dinner first? It is a true barbecue brawl. Takeru Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut. Michelle Buteau hosts because...
There you go.
Of course.
Yeah, well, you know what? A good barbecue spread would be a good present.
It would be a good present, especially if they had the maple brown sugar baked beans.
That is true.
And probably Beano and Imodium 280 after that would also be a really good present.
Yes.
But we've got presents for different people in game show fandom. And who's going to start this?
All right. You know what? Pat Sajak needs a retirement present. What are we going to give him?
Vanna White.
Good night, everybody.
No, actually, a good corner office where he and Ryan can talk and actually transition the game smoothly. That's what I would give. I would give him a good corner office.
Oh, you're so practical, man. That's awesome.
What about you?
I would give him a nice wheel-shaped coffee table for that corner office.
If I'm Pat Sajak and I'm retiring, what I would probably want to do is a contract to be a contestant on the next season of Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yes! Oh!
Let's go! Let's go.
Yes. Oh, wow. I am so dumb. I didn't think of that.
That would be fun. Jay likes fun. Jay will give us the next one.
I will give you the next one. Okay. Let's see. Jeff Probst is planning for Survivor 50. What gift would you give him to make that season the best ever?
The Rolodex of every available Survivor castaway for the last 25 years.
Make it Celebrity Survivor. That would be fun. But with a twist, make them all celebrities that have been on the show before. Hi, Jimmy Johnson. Talking to you.
Lisa Welchel.
There you go.
She Rob made Mariano.
I see you, dog.
Yeah, sure. Let's add Rob Mariano to his, 18th Survivor.
I know.
And you know he'll be on number 50. That he won't, especially since he got to the end of Deal or No Deal Island.
He will be on 50. Sandra, let's pick some people who we know are going to be on there.
Sandra Diaz.
Rob Mariano. Would they invite Richard Hatch?
Ooh.
As long as you don't invite Susan Hawks to go along with him, why not?
Okay.
Makes sense, yeah. All right, Gordon, what's yours?
All right, so... You know what? I'm going to be especially nice because unlike Ellen DeGeneres, I am a nice guy. But not properly.
You are. But
Ellen DeGeneres desperately needs some love at this point. What are we giving her?
Honestly, a new management team, and at least 2 years out of the spotlight. And I'm being very serious about this because everybody loves a comeback story. And you know this, and everybody loves a second chance. Okay. Everybody loves a second chance.
Just America is the land of second chances.
go back to Montecito, stay in your $50 to $100 million mansion next to Oprah, and I'm being kind of semi-serious, and go and just be. Go off social media, go away. And I don't mean that in a bad way, just go away. You know what I'm saying?
I would give her a Netflix special. I mean, that is how you resuscitate careers.
She did have an extra special. It didn't work. Or is she having? I think that she filmed it or it's happening.
She filmed it. It hasn't dropped yet.
Right. I mean, look at it this way. She's
calling it her last. They're calling it her last stand-up special.
Until
we don't know when.
Okay.
You know?
It's always the last until it's not.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chico, next one.
All right, so this one's going to be an interesting one because according to a statistic, thanks to quiz shows like Countdown and The Chase, 13% of Britons identify as serious quizzers. So what do you get as a present for a serious quizzer in your life?
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. That's an interesting
Bradley Walsh bobblehead.
Again. Mark
LeBette bobblehead. How about
stop with the bobblehead and you know what you do. You go to Amazon.co.uk and you give all of them gift certificates to buy board games that they can practice on and play with their friends and be social. How's that?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Social. Yeah, social.
Yeah, it's when you're around other people and you make light talk.
And you play games and you have fun.
And you be competitive. Food.
Yeah, and you eat food and you compete and you do it again because you like the people who you're around. I like that.
You know,
Social. Yeah, being social. America's Got Talent has been a little meh this year. So what do we get?
We get them American Talent.
You get them what? American Talent?
Talent from America. That would be the best way for America's Got Talent to get more talent, is to actually get talent from the country
America
that they're supposed to be representing. Yes.
You know?
Sounds like such an easy concept.
I think that is kind of an easy one. But it's where my brain was. I couldn't think of anyone. Sorry, it's the food coma. Sorry.
Jason Block's brain is depressant. Shall we be giving his brain? No.
No. Gordon, what's the last one?
Okay, I will take care of the last one. Now, we've been discussing all sorts of different shows, and that we did talk about The Bachelorette and the lack of Asian representation, apparently, allegedly. What sort of present shall we be giving with that? Because
giving
Asians
who
are pretty the Bachelorette, because Asians are apparently in demand on that show.
What do we give the Bachelorette? It's the same thing we give to everyone involved in Bachelor Nation on ABC. A bleeping conscience. Because you need to realize that, I mean, you have been saying for years you have a problem with race, you have a problem with ethnicity, fix it. Don't talk about it, fix it.
Chico?
I agree. All it's like, everybody loves to talk about the problem, because talking about the problem is easy. Finding a solution to the problem is hard, and nobody likes to do the hard thing. But that's how you make the product better. It's by doing the hard thing.
Yeah, I'll even add on to that. I think you need multiculturalism to go along with The Bachelor. And I know that they've been trying to do that, but if you're really going to do it, You know, don't half-ass it. Don't be like, all right, here's your token, this, or you're token this, you're token this. Like, if you have an Asian bachelorette, there should be 90% of the suitors should be Asian, with maybe a token white person and a token black person, token Latino.
I agree with that.
If you want to represent, represent. If you want to do it, do it. If you're afraid, then don't even bother. You're better off not even attempting and just being like, hey, you know what, we're afraid of it. Just be honest.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
It is.
Again, if you're going to say you're going to try and fix the problem, just don't put a Band-Aid over the Titanic hole, you know, the hole in the hull of the Titanic. It doesn't work. And you know what the thing is? People understand you're being inauthentic. People know it and they get it. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do.
And if they do, then that's where the Titanic comes into play. Anyway, we shall wrap this one up with a big red shiny bow when we come back. WLTI has been brought to you by the Golden Bachelor debate, Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, which would be interesting, except nobody really wants to listen to either of them.
Gordon, no. This is an okay. Look, everyone and their mother and father has talked this about. This is a game show podcast.
Can we say Sephiroth? Sephiroth for president?
I'll go with Hawk to a girl for president over these
I would
two.
Vote. Don't blame me. I voted for Sephiroth.
Exactly. Mewtwo for president.
Mewtwo.
Yeah, I will vote for Mewtwo because he gets it, okay?
Seto Kaiba, okay? Seto Kaiba.
No. He has issues.
I know he does.
Anyway, we will start now the speed round now. Jeopardy, Wheel of Rotating Champions.
Wheel of Rotating Champions.
Well, I mean, we've got a two-timer. Let's see him get to five. If he does, we'll see. But right now, I think we might be at the end of the Super Champion reign. But you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
All right. Drag Race. Does Chanel finally get a badge?
She'll get a badge, but it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough.
She has to win something eventually, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. AGT, will we find an act that we will be offended by the media holdout?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Because we are that way.
Remember, this is the same show that gave us Michael Winslow a couple of years back.
See, Michael, true. And by the way, we weren't happy about it too then, just to let you know. You know, it was
Death
just like, really?
Come back, always forgiven. Come back,
yeah.
Always
yeah.
Forgiven.
No.
Okay, maybe not. Do we have an email?
No, but if you want to send us some, you can send us some at our address, WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com, or you can follow us on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am at GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network that is at 5&1. That's the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about everything that's going on network-wide. It is July now, so we are slowly but surely getting all of our nuts in a row for the next installments of the BS.
That's about 3 weeks from now, I think.
Yeah, I'd say about 3 weeks. We're going to be talking about big deals. We're going to talk about the we're going to be talking about college football 25 drop, training camp, a preview of the Hall of Fame game, all of that stuff, right?
Mm. We're going to do preview of the Hall of Fame game and talk about all the, you know, contracts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Over on the NAWC, we've got a paper. We've got two pay-per-views this weekend, Saturday, and they both take place in Toronto. SmackDown will be there tomorrow night, Friday. Actually, tonight now, Friday. SmackDown, as that leads into Money in the Bank on Saturday, and with Paul Heyman doing the unthinkable and actually telling Solo Sikoa to his face if he is not his tribal chief and causing him to be put through a table, who knows when the real tribal chief will be returning soon. We'll also cover AEW, and we'll also cover NXT Heatwave, and we will also eventually get to The Road to SummerSlam and the documentary WrestleMania XL Behind the Curtain, which showed the machinations of the main event. Gordon, Mega Bowl's happening soon, but what's going on now?
Well, Mega Bowl is not happening soon. Battle Bowl will be happening in August, but this weekend will be the playoffs. 88 teams go in, 8 of them make it to Delaware.
8? Wow. Really? 88-8? Wow.
Yep, we'll find out in the span. This weekend is 88-32, and next weekend is 32-8.
Oof. Wow. Yeah. And of course, UBAtoday.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. It was a thing. It's still covering Deadpool, right?
We're taking a break this week because we had the We the People 200 Constitution Parade from 1987 that we covered. No real big names attached to the parade, but a lot of things that happened 200 years ago, like woodworking on wheels and stuff. So that is up on site right now. Also on site is a delayed reaction, Guillermo on Celebrity Name Game.
Okay.
All I have to say is the clue is Beavis and Butthead, and somehow he came up with Dynasty.
By the way, and also congratulations, you broke the 100,000 download barrier.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. And I couldn't have done it without all of you listening. I thank you. Greg Diener thanks you. Mike Klaus thanks you. Benoodles thanks you. The ghost of Johnny Olsen thanks you. The G-Man thanks you.
Going on to next week's show. What do we have next week?
Next week, more Jeopardy. I think we have to do a primetime year in review. So there's that. And will Chanel pick up a badge? And also, what's the deal with Paramount? And also, all of the news that is fit to cover over the next 7 days. Well, 6, actually. But anyway, for Gordon Pepper and Jason Block and everybody at 5&1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. And as a person much wiser than I once said, freedom is the right of all sentient beings. Happy 4th, America.
Good night.